photo of an Alp. Above the muckstack, the Pennine sky was a grey shell that rarely cracked. Our houses were, it turned out later, built of beautiful golden sandstone, but the soot from our chimneys had long since blackened them, as black as the faces of the miners when they came to the surface at the end of each shift. I'm conscious of the danger of laying this on too thick, but the main road that ran parallel to our street, connected to it umbilically by soot-blackened terraces, was actually called Blacker Road. This, then, was the stereotypical North, where, as the KLF reminded us years later, it was always grim. And that's why Christmas blazed so brightly. In places like Barnsley, the contrast between normality and Christmas was tuned so high the colours bled. My proto-memory is of a large room in which every flocked wall, every inch of artexed ceiling, is exploding with hanging decorations, industrially cut from metallic paper. Technicolour tinsel drips from every corner and ledge. Perhaps there are fairy lights. Possibly, suicidally, it might be candles. But everywhere there is light, and every surface catches this light, refracts it and multiplies it, until the air itself shines. As a toddler, I have no concept of alcohol, no understanding of its power to liberate, no idea why we are here in this place. But I see it as a magical grotto that I never want to leave. I might be embellishing now, but I think I bawl my head off when we eventually do. For the rest of my life, I will always scorn minimalist, supposedly tasteful, colour-coordinated Christmases and regard any naked branch, wall or mirror in late December as an aesthetic and moral failing. This wonderland transforms the people within it. Throughout my childhood, adults were stony-faced. Cracking a grin seemed like surrender, as if someone had breached their defences. When they spoke to each other, they diverted their eyes to the sideboard or the mantelpiece. So to my infant eyes, the true miracle of the shining room is that now they are in it, these same people laugh. Faces that are usually lined and grey are now shiny and red. They lock eyes as they laugh. They are ostentatious in their generosity. The women are gorgeous in their long frocks, dangly earrings and blue eyeshadow, and the men are open and warm, thawed out in the midst of the winter chill. My childhood was not a happy one, and Christmas memories like these stand out as brief moments when everything was okay and everyone was bright and sparkling. For a long time, I used to associate this first memory of what turned out to be Christmas with the pub. But as I grew older and began visiting the local pubs myself, I could never figure out which one it could have been. Obviously, the decor would have changed over the decades, but even accounting for the difference in scale perceived by a tiny person in an adult's arms and a gawky teenager, my magical glowing place had been much bigger than any of the boozers in our village, or even in the town centre. My dad has been dead for a long time now, and there's no reason why he'd remember one random Christmas from the late 60s or early 70s, even if he was still around to ask. But thinking back, my parents hardly ever went to the pub at all. My dad, on the rare occasions when he drank, was a clubman. Words are powerful. When you look at who controls their meanings, you can see where the power in a society lies. Take clubman, for example. Ask someone in the North what a clubman is, and they'll tell you it's a bloke who tends to do their drinking in a club. Working men's club, social club, ex-service men's club, labour club, whatever, rather than a pub. Ask an affluent, well-connected person in the South, and a clubman is a member of a gentleman's club. Fine, some words have different associations for different groups of people. Mecca is either a chain of bingo halls or the most holy city in Islam, depending on your point of view. But the Oxford English Dictionary defines clubman as a man who is a member of a gentleman's club. And that's it, no possibility of a double meaning. This is revealing of, at best, a profound ignorance of the reach and impact of the working men's club movement, and at worst, a deep institutional bias against the history and interests of the working class. Likewise, ask a grizzled veteran stand-up comedian or a singer and TV personality such as Tom Jones or Jane McDonald what clubland is, and they'll tell you it's a circuit of working men's clubs, mainly in the north of England. Ask the internet,